Welcome back to Get With The Programming. I'm Chase Ingram.
I'm Captain America.
And along with me is Bill Grundler.
Wolverine.
And I have finished 24.2 as of about 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, Jules told us.
Oh, did she?
She's like, it's my fault, you guys. You can blame it on me.
Yeah, it was, I went to an affiliate.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The last two open workouts I've done in the affiliate.
Did you go to the same one?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. D-Town CrossFit here in Dallas, Texas. They've been around a while. They actually started in Denver.
Wow.
Yeah. And if, cool. Funny enough, when I was first trying to open up my affiliate, CrossFit Big D, in 2013, that was one of the names I had put in for. And they're like, no, actually, that's a gym in Denver. I'm like, Denver? Huh. Who calls Denver D-Town? Right. And then like a couple years later, they moved to Dallas. And I was like, oh, well, cool.
when you opened up your affiliate, did you ever think that I want to be able to use this name for something else, just in case?
Not
did that ever cross your mind or no?
Not with the affiliate name I got. Yeah, I knew that CrossFit Big D was only going to be used for one thing and one thing only.
Right, right.
And that was either CrossFit or CrossFit porn. That was it. Those are my only two options to go, and I decided to stick with the fitness.
I think that's legit. Well, I mean, because you're now is like a CrossFit Avenger, right? Which technically could be anywhere.
Yes, yes. And
I did the same thing.
Well, with CrossFit Inferno, that can go anywhere. It's funny because I think halfway through, you get these cool people like business owners and just brainiacs. And like, you know, your gym name is actually very hard to like market.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, well, yeah. And originally I wanted CrossFit Avenger when I was first applying. So I sent in a couple. It was CrossFit Avenger was one of them. CrossFit DTX was another one. CrossFit D-Town. And like, no. You can't have like state representation thing anymore. At the time of which I was doing it, it was a different time back in like 08, 09. You know, because there's like a CrossFit Austin. Right, you can't have that name anymore. But if you're there early, you could have that name. So yeah, once I got CrossFit Avenger back, I was pumped, and I have CrossFit Avenger now because it's the name I've always wanted. It's a name that I can market to myself a little bit more, just because what I love and who I've always been in the CrossFit world.
Right, right.
And I always wanted t-shirts. That were, this is funny because this is a dream I had in 2013, was making CrossFit Avenger shirts. And all I say is CrossFit Avenger, but they're in different fonts of the comic book's font for those specific characters. Like Captain America has a specific font. If you guys remember old school Captain America, it has like this red, white, and blue, kind of like a curved all caps font. Thor has like a metallic looking font. The Hulk has like rock font. And all the shirts would have been CrossFit Avenger, but in those particular fonts for the particular superhero characters.
That's cool.
That would have been the, I'll get around to it maybe one day once I open up the garage gym a little bit more to the public. But let me see if I can find the old school. Oh, this is it. All right, let me see if I can pull this up. Dashboard, Captain America font. Yeah, so this thing, right? So I would have made t-shirts that said CrossFit Avenger in this font, right? Which I thought would be pretty sick.
No, that would be super sick. Well, I mean, you had the Big D one in the G.I. Joe font too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Am I wearing it? No, I'm not wearing it. I thought I was wearing it. I was well. Yes. Yeah, if you guys are ever in Dallas and you wanted us like come to the garage, I'll coach you up. I'd be happy to.
That'd be fun.
Just hit me up. So yeah. Yes, Jason. Hey Jason, what's up, dude? Planning to avoid a cease and desist from Disney. God, I was gonna say something very controversial, but I'm not. So welcome everybody to the show. We're going to recap 24.2. I will say, spoiler alert, this went much better than 24.1 did for myself. However, I still did find out very abruptly in the workout where my fitness level is versus where my I should have been, and kind of where I was like, yeah, let's push it here. And then my body's like, bro, I thought I told you last week, we can't do that. You have to work out more if you want to do that thing.
The old body conversation.
Yeah.
It's like, hey man, tapping you from the inside. Hey, bro, tone it down.
Knock, knock. Right. Spoiler alert. No, not spoiler alert. Fun fact from last week. I got rhabdo.
So was it official?
Yeah.
You were talking about it. You're like, I think I got rhabdo, guys.
I remember, no, not like, because remember he's like, hey, was it your ego that like was defeating you more than your physical? And I was like, no, bro, like I'm telling you, something isn't right. Like I did it last Sunday. So 24.1, and for the rest of the day into Monday, something was wrong. I felt something was wrong. And then I got normal sore. I was like, oh, my hamstrings, my low back are really sore. And then 2 days after the 2 days after, right? It's always like 2 days later, you're like, okay, the soreness is finally hit. It was 2 days after that where I was like, my lats and my triceps were in so much pain, like a pain soreness where I've only felt this particular pain when I've like injured myself, right? Like torn something, strained something, which is a small tear, and it just got worse. And then I could like feel my body, right? Do you know when you get like really weird sore, like inflamed, you're like, I didn't know I knew where my lats were.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, weird. I could feel them swollen in my shoulders and try. And yeah, dude. And here's the best part. Of all the years I was on seminar staff and all the times we talked about rhabdo and who the number one candidate for rhabdo is, that was me, right? The deconditioned athlete who's been out of the game a little while, who still has the ability to push the intensity mentally, but his body is just not ready for that. I was the perfect candidate. And man, if I didn't just walk headfirst into that, it was wild.
Is that the first time you've ever had that?
That's the first time I've had it like real. I've had it to where I've gotten like the thick, like the puffy elbow into the forearm. Yeah. From actually, you know, it's funny, is it was when I was trying to like max out my snatch for the first time in like 2011. I just kept going, right? I missed for like 2 hours. Like, and here's the best part: is like I'm hitting 185, or I'm quitting this gym. That's the number I was trying to hit. And I probably tried it 30 times. And then the next day, from that, so that wasn't rab though. It was just like some weird compartment syndrome deal.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I've had that. I've had it 3 times.
Yeah. I might be lagging, running. Guys.
What?
Here, let me.
Are you?
Let me come back in.
He's out.
He's in. He's out. He's in. Hold on.
He's back. Here he comes.
How's that? Is that better?
I think you're better.
Yeah.
He was so yellow. Jason. So I had it once running a marathon, and I ran while I was injured, and I just pushed too hard. It was crazy because I didn't go fast, but that was like the rhabdo where you're peeing the Coca-Cola,
body.
That's the real one. I had all the flu-like symptoms that night and everything. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten it probably like 2 other times for sure. Biceps, not so much lats, much biceps for sure. A lot of pull-ups, a lot of like bar muscle-ups. What was dumb was my arms looked amazing because they were all jacked.
There's a good question.
Wow. Is that a serious question?
WTF is rhabdo?
I mean, you could just sit, like, you could do the whole like, I just don't believe it. That's kind of like what I do with age. I just go, what the fuck is old? Like, because I'm not 50 yet, so I don't know what you old people are talking about. I just ignore it. But yeah, like when you get like that compartment syndrome and the blood that is just pooling, it's gnarly. But my arms look huge. But they couldn't bend. Like I'd fall asleep like at night, my arm would go like, ah, and it'd feel like someone was like cutting across my arms with like a razor blade.
I had a coach two of my sons. I had a coach flag football and soccer, like the Monday and Tuesday afterwards. And I'm like, I'm doing like the old school Batman turn, right? Everything is so thick.
Yeah.
Like I'm moving my body to turn my head and like, I couldn't rotate. See, Hill, rhabdomyolysis is the... is basically muscle breakdown from massive intensity. Usually it's because you're either doing some type of eccentric loading movement in an isolated joint. Like usually it's a ring rows or jumping pull-ups is a big one. But it could be anything. Like Bill said, is like running a marathon, which is just a repetitive hammering of a movement where your muscle tissue breaks down and the proteins in the muscle basically get dumped into your bloodstream and clog up your kidneys.
Yeah, it's
nasty. That's the lamest way I could put it. I know there's more than that, but yeah.
Yeah, it's gnarly.
Yeah. So,
but your laps are good though now? You're all good?
Well, I did the workout about now an hour ago.
Right.
So I did 24.2, just waited to the last moment. Up until yesterday, I couldn't bend down and touch my toes without my hamstrings, like, not locking up on me, but being like, hey, hello, we're not ready. So I pushed it to the very end. Yes, Jules. Dang, I also have one kidney. So getting rhabdo or high intensity exercise when I'm not prepared for it is probably the worst thing I could do,
dude,
for myself. But yeah,
it's talking kidneys. So I just did a show with Jason.
Yeah. How was that?
It was awesome.
You and Mads, right?
It was Mads, dude. So have you heard?
Speaking
anything
of
about
Mads,
what's up with Mads,
is going through some shit right now.
Dude, he got an autoimmune disease. Weirdest thing, what do you call it? He called it, it's called Good Pastures. I have to like look it up because I couldn't believe what it is, but it's like an autoimmune disease where basically his kidneys were functioning at like 3%. And he had to go through chemo to try to wipe it out.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So it was, Jason's going to have that show up. I think he said he's going to have it up on hopefully Friday. Okay. And but it's interesting to listen to, you know, what he had going on. But dude, that guy,
dang,
he had here he is going through something like that, and he had the most kick ass positive attitude.
Dude,
like,
Mads. It's Mads is the nicest, most welcoming. Like, I mean, he was basically like CrossFit Europe for a while.
100%, dude. Right?
Like he was without a doubt the godfather of European CrossFit, and like him and Daniel Chaffee, who's in France, like just freaking the best
guys.
I
believe either he was on or he was the alternate, because I think he went. He was an Olympian.
Oh.
Because he did like jiu-jitsu and like judo, and
oh,
he was
that's
a big,
right,
like fighter guy.
Yeah, he was a big fighter guy.
Yeah, crazy. He's the nicest dude on the planet, dude. He's so damn nice, and he's just a badass
that
beater.
Dude could whoop my ass.
So awesome.
That guy could whoop my ass like 24.1. All right, Bill, let's talk 24.2.
Talk about it.
There's a couple ways I want to go through here, because I watched Dave's Week in Review today. Oh, did you watch
it? I saw it too. Yeah, I did.
I've watched other people talk about it. We'll talk about programming in a little bit, but we do have to ask this question every time you're on the show because of After 24.1. And I'll just ask the question, did you do it the way we all think you would do it?
Yeah, of course I did. Of course I did. 185-pound deadlifts, please. I'm not going to do
you 135. You don't want to use 135? That would be so much worse.
Yeah.
135.
You want to know what's funny is I don't know other than...
Honestly, in that one particular, like even, these last 2 weeks, I don't see a reason why to even scale the weight for that age group, no matter what.
No, not at all. Zero reason. But so I did the regular open version. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good for you. And you got what?
9-1.
With no warm up?
Well, two rounds is a warm up.
Oh my gosh.
First two rounds is warm up.
You're so ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Let's see. RB, you are correct. The Hopper versus Self matchup couldn't have been any better. That was one of the, I'll say this right now, that was for me as a fan of the sport, watching people work out, I can't remember an open announcement as intense and as fun as the Taylor versus the World was last week on the Savant podcast. I can't remember a single one. I've enjoyed some. We've seen some races and some workouts that I just liked and I wanted to watch people do. Usually during the open, I'm watching to gain knowledge of the workout for myself. This year, it's a little bit different. I'm getting back into the swing of things. I'm obviously getting a splash of intensity I haven't had in about a year and a half. And I'm getting into the 25% of my age group, and hopefully I'll get back in shape enough to try to make quarter or semifinals. We'll see. We'll see what the quarterfinal workouts are. But I think, without hyperbole, that was the most exciting open announcement I've ever watched. And I can't think of another one.
It's not even a question. Not even a question.
And here's the thing. It's not because we know these guys. Like, I don't like Taylor that much.
Well, no, dude, it was the race.
But I loved, and I'm just kidding, Taylor. I loved watching the swing of things. Hopper going out strong, Taylor trying to hold on, especially with what the expectations we got from the week before with Taylor versus Dallin.
Yeah.
When Taylor got the second best time in the world in 24.1. And then he comes in, is like, there's difference between knocking 24.1 out of the park, you're coming off injury, you're in the spotlight, you're just a guy, you're just a dude. Like, Taylor's just a dude. He's just a fit dude out there.
Fit motherfucker.
And he comes out there and rocks 24.1. Now all the lights are on you, bro. And to come from behind like that in the last 2 minutes, and like Jason's trying to hold on, and they get to the rower at the end, which is just the worst place. I ended up on the rower at the end with like 30, 40 seconds left, a round behind these guys. No, two rounds behind these guys. But that was so fun. It was so intense.
There was, you're right, there's bigger names. You know, we've seen all the biggest of the big names out there, but I think that was more for
even if I
those races or those announcements good, but this was it was like watching a Rocky story. You have the games athlete, and then you have this other bruiser that's just kind of out there, who everyone felt that, I mean, Hopper's, he's on a rower, he's the best in the world, and we all know that this is a rowing workout. And the fact that Taylor was able to be so calm and didn't get rattled once Jason got out there in the front and was just able to like hold on to it, and then really set up an attack. He said he saw him slow down just a touch.
Yeah.
And then he was able to have the gumption to go, fuck it, here we go. I'm coming at you. And the dude, like, he was 16 seconds behind. How do you make up 16 seconds when they're basically rowing about the same?
Yeah.
And you get it to where it's a tie. Now, I know, you know, there was the talk of picking up the bar, who got off the seat. I get all that. But
hey, by the end of the day, there's a score on the scorecard.
Right. And it was the most intense for a boring event.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most intense race the entire 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Way more than Colton and Justin. Way more. It was amazing.
Matt Burns.
It
Taylor,
was so fun.
Taylor definitely has brain damage like Rocky. that might be true.
Or he just doesn't quit. He has a I won't quit button.
Yeah.
And that's what's, I mean, is a purist athlete and a purist coach. I love to see that, because we see so many people that have just ability and skill like off the charts. They've been touched, like, you know, by the hand of God, boom, they have all of the things, but they don't have the heart.
Yeah.
And that dude, massive heart, just won't stop. Yeah. Very Terminator. I loved it. God, and, it was so fun.
And just shout out to Dallin Pepper, Jason Hopper, and coming up Colton Mertens to just like get out there and mix it up and have some fun. Like, they don't have to do this stuff.
No.
And I love it. I love that those guys are down. The last 24.1 was a hell of a race. For Taylor to hold on to the pace that he started with was nuts.
Well, and it was crazy because we already know that Hopper's so good on the rower. Mm-hmm. And it was cool in the little interview that they had afterwards is he even said, he's like, I came out too hot. He's like, this really doesn't matter. So this is a time to test that.
Yes.
And he's absolutely right. But what's cool is they both got to learn something out of that. So he got to learn, okay, what can I really hold mm-hmm. for that long of a time? Or where am I going to break down if I do or don't do it? And then with Taylor being able to go, okay, I need, it's almost like a swim race. I need to ride his wake just a little bit so that I have enough kick at the end
to be able to turn it on.
Really fun to know that, like, you know, Taylor found out that he knew he could do that if he needed to. Mm-hmm. You know, that we were talking about, you know, Taylor's face or Jason's face starting to like show fatigue.
Yeah.
And then Taylor's like, I don't know, I thought I had drool dripping all over my face. I was drooling from my asshole the whole time. You know, all that, God, that was quote. So funny. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. And it was super fun. The thing I liked to what Jason said, and I've seen Pat post about this a lot, is that when they say the phrase, and I don't like this phrase, the open doesn't matter, but it's a time for us to test things out. I would say is like the open definitely matters in a way that's almost more important for these games athletes because they get put in a competitive setting, usually isolated, maybe one or two people around them without all the flashing lights to try things in a competitive setting that they have a massive safety net below them, right? They're not going to go to quarterfinals. But they can try new things. Maybe how hard can I go out and hold on? What pace can I do and sustain? Or, you know, like, can I just send it and then see what happens? How often do they get to try those things in a competitive atmosphere? Not just a day-to-day workout, right? It's still different.
It's totally different.
100%. And they can't do something like that in quarterfinals, and they for sure can't do something like in semifinals. So the Open actually turns into the only place they can really try new things in a competition without risking fallout from it.
Yeah.
So in a sense, maybe the Open matters the most when it comes to finding that extra 1% in your bag as an elite athlete that you can maybe bring to quarter, semis, or the CrossFit Games.
And that's for the coaches to be listening to right now, because that's where you have to be telling your athletes that, because it's hard. I mean, that's the hard part is all the athletes will push hard. And, you know, even if you get a coach that's going to go like, okay, this is supposed to be an 80%. I want you to push 80% on this one. I want you to push. Nobody mm-hmm. knows what 100% is until it's really 3-2-1 go. And these guys are putting themselves in a scenario where you're having, you know, whatever, 3,000 people watching you do it. Which is that's a big deal. So I do think it's important. I think it's important for the coaches I think it's always important for a coach to say, no, if you don't train 100%, you're not going to be able to do 100%. You just can't. You can't say that you're going to rise to the occasion. You have to be able to hop into it. So you're right. It's a perfect time to do that. And for these, they aren't going to lose anything. They aren't going to lose, you know, qualifying, they're not going to lose, you know, big amounts of money. They're not going to lose anything.
Right.
So,
which is really good. I've never thought about it that way. And I'm not trying to like, hey, maybe we've stumbled on something, but I do feel like watching these guys do these things, I'm picking up on these that I've never seen them do before, because you're right. Because when do you want to try? Like, there will be a time. Say the time is the final event in Fort Worth, Texas, in Dickies Arena. You're down by 3. You got to win by 2 places. And it's a workout that takes 5 to 6 minutes. And you know the person you're going against is better than you at this event. And the only way you're going to beat them is to just go for it. And if you've never touched the sun before, that is not the time you want to see if you're capable of doing it.
Right.
So maybe in the open, when they're, you're in a competition, regardless of what's on the line, maybe this is the perfect time to touch the sun and see if your wings don't melt. Icarus reference for anybody?
Yeah.
I know I'm getting a little metaphorical there, but maybe that's why the open is the most important time for some of these athletes that are just trying to find that last little 1% that they need. I mean, think about the competition we're going to have on the men's side this year. If it all shakes out, everybody shows up healthy. I know we've talked about Pat, Justin, Jeff, Roman, and Ricky, but you've got a lot of other, Brent Fikowski, Dallin Pepper, like you have all, you have like 8 to 10 dudes that are going to be in the mix and have all the capabilities of being in there. You are going to need a 1% separator at some point in time. And you got to know if you have that or not when it's time to use it. Not, I hope it works. I have never tried this before. Why not try it in the open? And I think we've seen that a couple weeks in a row now.
Especially, and I think honestly, even on the events where it's your strength. I mean, we always talk about like, you know, training your weaknesses and all that and shouldn't be doing your strength stuff. But like, here's like, again, Jason, the best rower of the CrossFit, of the guys, on the guy's side. Like, he doesn't need to, he already knows he's good at it, but he doesn't know how good he is at it. And I think that's what was cool, was he got to use that as a tool to really push to see what he's able to do, to really see, okay, what's the capacity of that? Not just can I beat everybody on a 2K or whatever, but what can I do capacity-wise to keep going?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you also have the fact that, like, okay, these guys aren't, you know, peaked for the open, but it gives them a very strong look. Well, it's certain the things. I mean, I don't want to say where they are in the season officially, because if it's not a very good test for them, it's not a true marker, but you get a couple good, you know, glimpses into what you got going on. So I think that's huge.
Glee said, I was too scared to join the open this year as I'm at the very start of my journey to regaining my fitness. However, the Taylor Self versus the World Series has 100% convinced me to sign up next year. Glee?
Nice job, Glee.
I wish you would have signed up this year. You would have been just fine. However, it's really cool to see that. And that's what we want from these open announcements, whether they're from CrossFit or a Taylor versus the World or, you know, there's ones going all over the place. There's the age group masters and adaptive version that happens on Thursdays after the open announcements on Wheelwad.
Yeah. Right?
All of these things out there to inspire those to come give it a shot. So I love that you want to give it a shot. And please jump on in. The water's fine.
Jump on in. Oh, man, totally.
The water's fine.
I wonder what, Glee, just as we're talking here, right up, like what made the switch? Like, what watching those guys, because you saw two machines go after it. What was that made you all of a sudden go, next year, I'll definitely do it?
Yeah.
I'd be interested in
that. I would be interested to see what that answer is. Because, like, you look at that, and you're like, I'm not doing that.
I can't fucking do that shit.
You watch Taylor.
I'm not going to go hurt like those guys.
Puking in a trash can during a podcast after 24.1. You're like, none of that looks exciting to me. However,
I totally want to join that.
You know what's funny is that back in the old days with Pukey, like, that's the stuff that drew me into CrossFit.
Right.
I'm like, oh,
yeah, but we're weird.
Whoa.
We're weird.
Not that I want to, like, go to a point of throwing up. Have you ever thrown up because of a workout, like just intensity before?
Nope.
I have dry heaved multiple times, but I've never fully thrown up.
I have virtually passed out. Mm. I've done that.
Yeah.
I've never really dry heaved or anything. Peed myself.
Ooh.
Where like you're just kind of in it and you're just like in it and pushing and you.
Was this like a long workout or you just forgot to go to the bathroom beforehand?
No, like figured I'd be fine kind of a thing, and then you a little bit more in than you want it to be, and then you're just like, well, I'm in the middle of this now. I can't stop now, and I can't wait 8 minutes or whatever the thing was.
Yeah.
But like, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, that's, nope. Here we go. Not couple, like a full-blown, it's just going. A
couple drops of pee just like, came out.
Yep, it's going. Dang
Professor
it.
Professor Gaines. I'm not reading that, but I will put it back on the screen. Yeah, throwing up. I never peed myself. I thought I was going to shit myself a couple times.
That's what the... You talk about my peeing and you feel like you're going to shit yourself?
Yeah, you never had that happen? Like, well, you're just like, oh, man, I better pucker up for these last few double-unders. Or I will say I was a little worried about how 24.2 would go today because, like, I haven't had great... it's been a rough digestive day, and I think I've lost, like, 3 or 4 pounds before the workout started, and I was like, man, I hope everything's out of my system. Maybe enter 24.2 a little dehydrated. Okay, let's talk about the workout itself. Let's start with in a bubble, okay? As many rounds as possible in 20 minutes, 300-meter row, 10 deadlifts at 185 and 125, 50 double-unders. Now, this is the first time we've had meters in an open workout for multiple rounds.
What do you think about that? And what do you think about it and why do you think it? I have my personal opinions.
So when I first saw it, I would say I didn't love it. I was like, oh, I wish it was like 20 cows. Or in my first gut reaction, I was like, oh, 20 cows. It's, you know, that's about a minute. 300 meters at a certain pace is a minute to a minute 10. So 20 cows for everybody hits that like sub minute to minute 15 time range for both men and women, depending on fitness level. And then, as I tend to do, I pulled my knee back after my knee jerk reaction. And I started looking at how they were scoring it. And I'll say two things that I actually liked more is that when you put multiple rounds of this in the mix with double unders specifically, right? You're getting 50 reps every round for about 30 seconds of work. On the rower, say it was 20 cals, you're getting 20 reps for double the time and really double the effort, right? Double unders for 50 reps is not as tough as 20 cals on a rower and not as fatiguing, depending on the pace that you go. I actually didn't mind the meters because you get 1 point for every, or one rep for every 10 meters. I felt like it offset the number of reps you were getting for double unders better than cals with a better return on effort there. That's where I landed.
Okay. My take on it was that there are a lot of CrossFitters that don't understand how the rower actually is reading when you're pulling the cable. So when you're pulling for calories...
Do you mean for cows specifically?
For cows.
Okay.
Yeah. When you pull for cows, it reads when you're pulling the cable out.
But
when you're rolling for meters, it's just as long as the wheel is spinning... It's kind of like the skateboard mentality where like you're just kicking along on a skateboard and kind of keeping yourself going. And I think that was easier and more efficient for the general population of CrossFitter that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're getting, even though like you pull once and you're really tired, you pull once, it's still showing meters are accruing because it's still spinning.
Yes,
so it kind of gives you that like, hey, fun run.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the fitness fun run.
Yes.
So we're going to ease up on that. That's the way I took it. I like the fact that they did what I liked is that they actually took the extra time to think, okay, for scoring purposes, mm-hmm. you have to round down.
Right.
But you can get the rollover.
See, I didn't know that.
So
I got stuck on, I had like 40 seconds or 30 or 40 seconds at the end of the workout on the row.
Yeah.
And so I'm rowing as hard as I can with whatever I have left. And I just dead stop like at 1959 because I got to what I want. I was like, okay, try to get to the, I got to like I was like, try to get to the next meter.
Yeah.
And I got there and I was like, okay, good. Because I wasn't going to get to the next 10. And then when he showed me my score, I was like, why did you give me those extra 20 meters?
Yeah.
He's like, because it had rollover. I'm like, damn it. I would have done one more pull.
Loopholes
at the 1959, and I would have got one extra rep. And then and you know why I'm so mad about that? One, because that's a stupid mistake on my part. Two, I know I would have got an extra rep, and that one extra rep would have beat Hiller.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, because apparently we tied.
So what you got? You got nine and what?
I got nine rounds and 150 meters.
Oh, dude, nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was on pace for nine and change. I was like, man, I wonder if 10, like 10 just wasn't a thing. Like after the first round, it was like 205. I'm like, oh shit. All right. Well, that's gone. Mm. But my last set of double unders, I just fell apart. I got to 48 and I missed three times in a row.
Oh, dude, that is not like you. What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, man. I was so frustrating because it's not like I wasn't trying to get it, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to get it. And I was like, it's just two. I have done, I think my PR double unders and broken is like 374.
Fucking crazy.
And double unders tired, it's like I'm okay with that. And I just, it was like everything just stopped working.
Do you think, I heard, I didn't feel this, or I didn't feel a change in this, but did you think that the deadlifts took anything out of your jump?
Yes.
I didn't feel that. I heard a lot of people saying that, and I didn't really feel that.
So, well, the preface is I am notoriously horrible at deadlifts.
Even at that weight, though, 185?
It's the accumulation, too. It's like I don't do deadlifts very often because I have a bad back.
Yeah,
that gets very aggravated and has put me in a hole for years if it triggers in the wrong way. So I don't traditionally do a lot of deadlifts, even at lighter weights. So I started, I don't know if it was, yeah, right. Just look at the final number. You don't need to test shit. There's nothing impressive about that number. I felt it a little bit because like hamstrings and I don't know. The doubles definitely started to get more fatigue, but I think that was just normal fatigue.
Yeah.
That lasted a deadlift though, like in the round of nine, I wanted no part of. Not that they were hard or they hurt. I was just like pouting.
You're so funny. What was your split on the row? What were you holding?
At the end?
The general.
Oh, like, I try to keep it under 150 the whole time.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
What? 150?
Yeah.
How slow was your transition then?
They weren't very slow, but like my deads are not fast.
Right? Because I was like 155, wow. Pretty much all the way through. 155.
But I still think like there's only a 3 or 4 second difference between those.
Did you see that thing that Concept 2 put out?
Yeah. Yeah.
For every fight, which was like, I was so stoked they put that out because that was
awesome.
I was able to use that for a lot of people, like our general class. I'm like, hey, just because you can hold, just because you can do 145
right
once.
Yeah.
You know, don't go 145, then all of a sudden go to 2 minutes. But if you can hang somewhere around between 150, 155, 2 minutes, 205, depending, it's only a 3 second difference.
Or as Wad Zombie said, I like the open because it reminds me that Chase is human like the rest of us. And then Matt did not compliment me at all. Chase is, but Bill is not, which I agree.
But Bill, he beat me. Human. So what are you talking about?
You're 55. Come on.
So,
but yeah, so I try to hold a 150 sub 150. So I never wanted to see 150 on the rower, but I didn't want to see anything faster than 148. And I have the video. So I'll post the video of my workout later. But what I did is on what's the workout thing we use? WOD? Shit. I should know this.
The
yeah.
Go WOD?
Go WOD.
Yeah. Do you have the, you have a
connected wadproof.
Or wadproof. You have it connected to the,
So I connected it to the rower so you guys can see my row pace the whole time. I'll post the video of my workout later. You guys can watch it if you want to. It's 20 minutes of just me going at a pace that didn't really improve, but you watch my last round, what you see everything crumble. But yeah, I hooked it up so everybody could see my row pace.
Yeah, that's cool. I was figuring for me, cause the row was going to be the row. I mean, whatever. For me, it was all about, okay, how am I going to be able to hang with the double unders? And I just needed to make sure that I didn't mess them up. I mean, that's a lot for me. I could have a good day. Mm-hmm. I'll be nowhere close to where you are, with the double unders. So like, I just need to make sure that even if I missed where I normally would do the whole, like, bend over, hands to the knees, and take that breath. The second I hit, I just went right into the next one. So I tried to keep that time frame down as short as I could. But my transitions, I was like, wow, I'm holding this transition quick. I'm right off the row, right to the bar and going. And the reps were pop, 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 pop. And they were done. You know, a breath, grab the rope, and I'm on the rope. So I tried to hold that down as much as I could. So
I'll post it. Yeah, my dad's. I wasn't quick to the bar, and I just wanted to make sure everything was in line. I'm acting like I'm pulling 400 pounds off the ground, but in line all the way up. Like I wasn't pushing the pace on the deadlift. Doubles were good. I think I probably broke two or three of the rounds, maybe once. And then in the ninth round, I probably broke six times.
So funny. all right. So going back to the original question, we were saying, like, you know, what we thought about it in a bubble.
Let's say in an open, what the open is now, bubble. What are your thoughts on this particular open workout?
For a standalone workout, I think it was fine for what it was, but I'll say it this way. For a standalone workout, I thought it was fine. I thought it was great. Like, it's classroom setup. Like, I would have programmed a heavier deadlift because of what it was. But standalone, it's fine. It's the second I don't make it standalone that I think that personally, I think that this was a fail. Because I think that we had opportunities, and we'll get this when we do the big programming thing.
Yeah.
But I think that there were opportunities that stand within the open of everybody gets to play, but we are able to test the high-end athlete. We get to push some athletes, you know, above and beyond what they can normally do in a normal setup with either technicalities or weight or whatever. That's the part that I was irritated with this workout. Do I hate the workout? No. I think every workout, for the most part, generally speaking, by itself, it's fine, but it's how you put it all together. And that was actually one of the things that Dave said.
True.
Is that it's hard to knock a workout just by itself. You have to look at the entirety of what's going on. I know we have 1 week left, and that's what makes me really nervous and bummed about what happened in this workout.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
No, it does make sense.
Because week one to me, boom, stuck a flag in it. Perfect.
Week one was great.
Perfect. But again, like, if they would have had this workout in there, I would have been way more positive about it because of what it was. You know, you know what I mean?
Okay.
We have one shot left, and there are things that are still left on the table that I think, open or not,
right?
Can't say, like, I do not want us to use, well, 25% are moving on, so it really doesn't matter what we do,
right?
Because I still think...
Well, you definitely don't want them saying that when they don't like other people saying that.
No, God, no. Because that false argument is the same thing as, well, Matt and Tia won, so obviously the programming was perfect. No, that's not. It's just Matt and Tia were the fucking best ever. Like, that's all. So you can't have it that way. So it was fun to do. It was fun to watch the people, you know, get double unders for the first time. Cool.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
The deadlift, I didn't see anybody. Not to say they didn't do it unbroken or they had to break them up. Mm-hmm. Nobody had a problem with the deadlift.
Yeah.
In my gym, nobody had a problem with the deadlift. Mm-hmm. We ran 55 people through that day.
Great.
You know? So to me, the deadlift ended up being like non-existent. It wasn't even necessary.
Okay. Okay.
So
I'll go kind of the same order as you did. Standalone open workout, especially after doing it and seeing the widespread way this will affect different people with different skill sets, whether you're very aerobically conditioned, maybe not super strong. If you have double under skills or you don't, if you're if you don't like rowing and totally. Right. If you're super fit or super deconditioned, will the deadlifts matter in a sense of being too hard or too heavy? No. Will it be challenging for some people because they don't have the prerequisite strength and stamina? Yes. I think this was a great in a bubble open workout, especially after doing it. Because, like, I'm not going to judge an open workout specifically for the top of the top because that's not what the open is anymore. However, I do want to see it challenge them in a different way than 99% of the people below them, which it will. And I look at that as like, okay, what's going to challenge the elites? Well, it's not the weight, it's not the reps, it's not the volume, but it's like their ability to sustain a tough, sustainable pace for 20 minutes nonstop, to be locked in mentally for 20 minutes, not being able to, now you can't break your double unders or you're going to lose type of strain and focus, right? It's just going to hit them in different ways and challenge them in different ways that they would need to use and maybe take from, like we said, take from the open and put onto the competition floor at semifinals or CrossFit games. But for the wide group of people taking this test, I'm good with it. It was long. It wasn't overly difficult. It'll challenge everybody in a unique way that will expose a fitness avenue that they should dive in for the next 365 days. I'm cool with it. Did it have the same movement patterns as week one? Yes, it did. Hinging, pulling, and jumping. Okay. Was it the same workout as week one? No. Not even close. Right? Week one was just a kick in the dick fest of intensity. This one was just a slog fest of work and work capacity and aerobic capacity, right? There's a difference there. I will be waiting to see what week three is before an overall assessment of what I think and look at the programming. Because right now it's like, yeah, I can feel the same way as a lot of people. It's like, oh, now what? Are we going to do another hinging and pulling and jumping workout in week three? I'm in the camp of like watching Dave's Week in Review is that I can't fully analyze and constructively critique what the programming is until I see the whole thing. Because maybe we'll be wowed in week three. I'm like, all right, I see the setup.
You're going to be wowed with the one rep max lift? Because that, no. Like, that's the part that nerves, it's not the workout.
Yeah, yeah,
it's how it stepped. Because I feel like,
I just want to wait
the first round,
right?
No, and so not, am I. No, but, I get it. But like speculating, though, you got to think about, okay, well, what's
it's
left?
Not going to be 21-3 and 21-4. Like, unless they just decide to screw over cap programming.
Even if they want to do, what were you talking about? 13-4? Is that what the one?
Total 7 minutes, toes bar, clean and jerks. Yeah.
And then have something at the end of that.
Yeah. Right. I don't think we'll see a repeat, but maybe.
So, okay. So we have generally, well, if you look at the elites, the first week we had a sprint, even though the time frame was a 15 minute cap.
Right. It was
this is a 20 minute AMRAP. So right. Everyone did 20. Everyone went long.
Right.
So, do you think that we'll have a general shorter one? If the masses were looking at week one, like 12 minutes, 13 minutes?
No, because I want to look at it, the intent of what the... I still want to look at the intent of the program.
Well, right? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. But that's what I mean. Like, you have to start looking at,
but that's why I kind of lean towards 13-4, right? AMRAP in 7 minutes of clean and jerks at 135 for 3 reps and toes to bar at 3 reps and then 6, 9, 12, 15.
Right, which I don't disagree with that. I can see that.
I think it fits in a final week format too, because if you think about any 5 week open we've ever had, how many times do we have a 7 minute ascending rep AMRAP for the last workout? Mm-hmm. Multiple times, right? And so, yeah, so maybe 15 minutes of high intensity work for week one, if that is the time cap, where the average time worldwide is probably 10 to 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the average time, but
I get you.
But 20 minute grinder of nothing crazy or hard. Double unders are a light skill that may trip people up, no pun intended, but it's nothing wildly. And then you have a 7 minute just ascending rep punch in the face test. I could see that. But what I don't want to do is pull a barbell off the ground again for the third time. But you look at toes to bar, that's a very accessible gymnastics movement hanging from the pull-up bar, because I think we will be hanging from the pull-up bar.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go through an open and not hang from a pull-up bar. Maybe you can, but right.
I mean,
we'll see. And we'll save the prediction show for Wednesday, right? We have the leaderboard show coming.
And I wasn't trying to predict necessarily, but it was like, if we're talking about this individual workout, mm-hmm. and using, like, and what Dave said was 100% spot on, is like, you can't judge a workout without looking at the entirety. So we have two of the three ish that we know of. Maybe it's four, who knows? We don't know officially.
Right.
So there, we may be halfway done. We may be 2/3 of the way done, mm-hmm. which you start thinking, okay, well then what's going to be left then? And I know when we get to the show on Wednesday, we start looking at CAP and we start looking at all the things. I mean, that will be when we'll really look. But that's what bothered me about this workout. Was not even the workout. It was like, oh shit, did we just lose our chances on things that we could have put in here, where now we're going to have to try to plug a square hole with a round peg in the last week? Mm-hmm. I just don't know. I hope not.
We'll see.
It was way more fun than I thought it was going to be. I'll say that.
The second one?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it was great.
I mean,
just, oh,
it was like, I could only go so fast because I knew I had to make the double unders. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were really good, if you're watching like Taylor and Jason, and like, it was really bad for them because they had to push all of the elements.
Right.
I had to make sure that I got my double unders. So like, I could only push so hard. You know what I mean? So like, the governor was on. It wasn't like the first one where it's like, well, just okay, go until you break
something.
Yeah,
but the governor was on and you were just right next to the governor the whole time.
Right.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm very curious. And it's funny is that we'll take a peek ahead, even though we're going to do this. Actually, I don't know if I want to peek ahead yet.
Don't peek ahead. Close out. No, close that up.
Hold on. I want to look at
the week before that?
The week before, where we looked at, and it's like, oh, I wonder what it could be.
Okay.
So here's something interesting. This is actually throwing me for a loop. God, take myself off this giant screen. All right. So this is last week, right? We looked at last week to try to predict what was coming for 24.2. Monday, deadlifts, 45 of them at 225 and 155. The next day was rowing intervals. So we had deadlifts and rowing Monday, Tuesday, and then they loop back around on Friday and put them both in a workout. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying is, when we're looking at the programming, we can't just not take that into effect.
What was the day? But what was the day? The Thursday?
It was the shoulder press. The day before.
Wait. You're looking at 24-2.
I'm looking at 24-2. Yeah, this is last week.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Right.
Oh, so, I see what you're saying. I thought you were going to look at like, compare it to.
No, because we looked at last week. You're like, all right, we're deadlifting and handstand pushups on Monday. It's like, cool. All right, we're doing rowing intervals on Tuesday. All right. And this is last week. We're doing a version of Helen with knees to elbows, 400 meter runs, and hang squat cleans. And then shoulder press here. And it's like, okay, what is that going to be? Well, normally we'd say, it's like, all right, well, we rowed and we deadlift. So we're probably not going to do that. or maybe a little bit different. And then we row and deadlift here. And then we box jump here, but we double under here. Right. And then we do Russian kettlebell swings here. Like, it's not, they're not going to just take movements out. Right. There are more movements put in here that I wasn't surprised to see. I didn't think we're going to do deadlifts. We're all thinking like a lunge or a wall ball shot we thought was going to happen last week. Because it's like, oh, well, yeah, they're not going to do a well, deadlift. I was just like, all right, so you can't completely take it off the table, which I feel like opens up even more when we start analyze or we start predicting which will be on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting. When I look back, I'm like, oh, what did we program last time? So we'll see.
Regardless of how I feel about it in programming wise and all that, it was.
I've been seeing Turkish Guitar for 3 years.
I thought it was fun.
It was fun.
It was fun. It gave a lot of programming brain opportunities.
Yeah, take your programming brain hap cap thing off for a second, which is hard, right? Because that's just where we. I mean, that's the whole name of the damn show.
Right.
But when it was over, I was like, damn, that was a great open workout.
I said, sweet, I didn't completely fuck up on my double unders and get like four rounds or something.
I did not say that because I completely fucked up on my last round of double unders. And then I just was like, oh, I'm dying on the rower. And yeah. But yeah, I'll post my video and you guys can see that last round of just debauchery when I just freaking crumble like a deck of cards. Let's see, Gareth, I'm pulling it up and I didn't even read what you said. This is my first year in a CrossFit gym and doing the open. I'm 60. All right, bro.
Nice. Nice.
RX 24.1 and 24.2. This is my first attempt at double undering. I'll give you undering. I decided one would be a victory, but got 50, then 37. Hell yeah, Gareth.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah.
That's what we want. That's what you're supposed to do. Don't scale it and get 2,000 rounds and reps. Good job. Roger.
You're the man, dude. I was talking to Roger inside the before you got here.
Oh, you did? Roger's a good dude.
Yeah, I love that he pops on.
God, we got to go to Europe, man. We have so many good dudes over there.
Yes.
We got to go to Europe. If anyone wants to bring us to Europe, Roger. Sorry. Let us know. Joel, don't be so hard on yourself. I thought 649 was good. Now I'm dropping in the rankings like a stone. Don't worry about it.
Hey, it's you against you, man. Okay, so I got to say something. This is for all the people that whether they have done the open before, because I've had a couple conversations with Oslo Throwdown, get us out there.
Yes. I need to let him know, actually. That's on me.
But I've heard a lot of people that have been really concerned with the number that they're getting, their ranking this open versus like last year's open. And I know that we say do the open so that you can compare yourself to last year and see what your fitness is and all that. However, you have to understand, dude, you're the man. You have to understand that unless you did the exact same workouts,
yes,
you cannot say that you went up or down because like you dropped 100 points in the rankings. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like don't do that to yourself. You guys, you got to understand that like those numbers are completely relative.
Yeah.
They are where you are this year. You're going to know how, you know, was I better at double unders? Was I able to lift more weights? How many more pull-ups could I do at one time? Mm-hmm. What was my row split? That's how you know that you're better.
Was there a one rep max tested or not? Like you can't compare year to year. It's fun to do. And it's okay, but you're like that needs to get said because we just like, are you fitter last year? It's like, are you fitter than yourself last year? Not the people around you, especially in the divisions that we're in. Like Bill's rolling into 55 like Godzilla into Tokyo right now with RX individual weights, just laying waste to everybody. Does that mean like everybody above him are getting less fit? No. Like I'm 41. I am in the like worst fitness level I've ever been since I started CrossFit, but I'm getting back into it. Right. And I'm actually enjoying getting my teeth kicked in a weird way. Usually it's because I like went really hard and did a good score. Now it's just, I went really hard and got kicked in the face, but it's great. And I'm bathing myself in intensity that I have been missing for almost 2 years now, which I need if I want to reach the next level of whatever it is that I want to do. And I want to be able to do quarterfinals the best of my abilities, of what abilities I currently have and possess. I realize I have a higher ceiling because where I'm at physically, and that's fine. And could I make semifinals in the top 200? Damn, that'd be freaking cool. That'd be really cool. It's not make or break for me, but it's the carrot on the stick out there for me this year.
That's cool.
But I'm not going to get there if I don't remember what intensity really truly is. And that is something that is out of my comfort zone that I don't want to do, that I know I can, and I have to dive into that. Not every day. Maybe one, like, open's perfect. I actually told this story today. It's my buddy Travis. And Travis, phenomenal athlete. Phenomenal athlete. But when, in our early days of competing, like, we had a lot of programming. Like, I program the group class, and then I program an extra lift, and maybe some different skill work throughout the week. Like, the training, if you did it full on back in the day, was like 2 hours.
Right.
Easy. And he always wanted to do more, and he usually would do more. And every year after the Open, when it was 5 weeks, he would come up to me, because during the Open, we would just say, hey, we're focused on the Open. We're going to do this. We're probably going to repeat it. So let's just scrap the extra stuff, hit the Open for 5 weeks, and then get back on the train. Right? Maybe we'll make regionals. He would come to me after the Open every year. And he'd go, you know, after the Open, I always feel like I'm in the best shape.
Wow. Really? After the Open?
Yes.
I was totally not.
And here is why. Because he would do too much volume and never get to the intensity piece that we know is the secret sauce to everything. But what would he do twice a week for 5 weeks straight? Right. He would send a workout at his maximum intensity and do it again twice times five. And he would tell me at the end of those 5 weeks, he felt like he was finally in the best shape.
Crazy.
And he posed it as, he didn't feel like he was in good enough shape to start the Open, as if that was like a problem. And I was like, what you're saying to me is what I've been trying to tell you this whole year, is you're doing too much. We need to do less and have more intensity. And then here comes the Open, and it just perfectly lays out on a platter of the beauty of intensity. One to two times a week, that's all it takes. And your fitness will just, it's amazing. And that's why I'm glad the Open's only 3 weeks, because I don't want to do that. And I'm not repeating any workouts.
Oh, man, one and done.
But
one and done.
Dude, I haven't had that intensity feeling in 24.1 ever.
Yeah, serious.
And I haven't gone that hard for that duration of time than I did 2 hours ago in 24.2. But if I want to get to where I want to be, I know what that feels like now, and I know that I still can do it, and I'll be fine. I just haven't wanted to touch that hot iron. And now I've been doing it in the Open again.
Yeah. I think that and the numbers that you were using right there are really interesting, because that's how you should be doing it. And the problem is that everyone, and there was that wave where everyone was doing just so much volume.
Yeah.
That there was no way you could even have any level of intensity.
Right.
And I would tell, this was like 2016. 2015, around there, I would tell these athletes, I'm like, stop doing so much stuff. Concentrate on less stuff, harder.
Yep.
So you get used to that, because why train yourself to only go 75% intensity? It's great you're working 3 hours, 4 hours, but if you can't like open the floodgates,
yeah,
and you can't because you're just too tight. You're just doing too much stuff.
Yeah.
So it is really good for people to be able to see
it.
And a lot of times you got to experience it. Because someone could tell you that until they're blue in the face, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You got to be able to experience it. So that's cool.
Yeah. It was cool. It was a good learning lesson.
Yeah.
Even though we had to learn the lesson every year. So I don't know if he actually ever did learn the lesson, but I love,
he got reminded
I love,
every year
I love Travis. Lesson. He's a great friend, a phenomenal athlete, and But it's just funny. Every year we'd have to have the same conversations. It was like he came up to me as if like the programming wasn't good. Right. And I was like, or let's break this down a little bit. You went hard as you can twice a week for 5 straight weeks and you got fitter by doing less work. So let's try it. Let's try a little harder in our weekly program when it comes to that. So I'm excited to continue.
So I pulled this up with Pedro here because I think this is kind of the crux of that. Hard to hit the open level intensity if you don't compete through the year. Okay, so for most people that are in the CrossFit gym, they don't compete. They don't know what that means to go hard, and hard just feels like, well, I'm breathing hard. So you have to somehow manufacture it in your head of, okay, what is changing what you're doing now in the open versus what are you doing at the gym? And I mean, and that was one of the things that when Glassman put it all together, he would talk about that relative intensity.
Right.
There would be days you would come in, you'd be tired, you'd be fatigued, you'd be sick, you'd be hurting, you know, having to kind of nurse something through, whatever. And you give the best that you have on that day for that particular reason.
Right.
The only thing different is you are telling yourself, hey, the open is here. I need to race. Because every day there's a leaderboard.
Yeah, it's the same
in your
workout.
Gym. It's the same thing. We just get to ramp it up with a bigger playing field now. Mm-hmm. So like with Pedro, he gets to now be in our chat, in our locker room chat, and be like, all right, guys, I got this.
Yeah, we put all our cards on the table and just, you know, be very open and vulnerable. But I think the one thing I want to add to this is that it has nothing to do with competing or signing up for a competition. It's easier to do because you sign up for a competition. But there is no workout that you do or is on the docket for a week that you can't find one and be like, that's the one. That's the one where I'm not going to train that day. I'm going to test that day. Look at your week's programming. Let me just do this. For an example, if this is my week of programming, this is CAP last week. I'm going to take 24.2 out of it. I'm going to look at Wednesday. All right. So Monday, deadlifts and handstand pushups. That's okay, we're going to get through that. We're working on dad's handstand pushups. 3-minute workout. Interval day, I'm going to pick a row interval that I can sustain, right? This is a training day. Even on Thursday, where it's a 10x2 shoulder press every 2 minutes. I'll look at this and just Friday's 24.2. Let's just say it was just a workout. Okay, long workout, getting some stuff in. I'm working on chest to bar pull-ups. All these things are really just like good training days. Pick the thing you want to get better at and work on it. But man, I'm going to come to Wednesday and I'm like, all right, Wednesday is the day. Wednesday is my day to test myself. 4 and a meter run, 21 knees to elbows, 12 dumbbell hang squat cleans at 50 and 35 for 3 rounds. It's Helen. It's a 7 to 10 minute workout, potentially. That's my test day. And you can do that every week. You don't need to sign up for a competition to get intensity. It's totally up to you, but you gotta, the hard thing too, especially if you're working it out by yourself at home or in the garage, that's when it's even tougher because you don't have that person next to you to push you, right? If you're not on the leaderboard with somebody else or in a group doing the same workouts, it's really tough. And I think this all goes back to the system of accountability. Having people in your corner to push you when you don't want to push or let you know that today's the day to push. It has nothing to do with competition. It has nothing to do with signing up for an event on the leaderboard. Nothing. You can do this intensity every week if you want to. You just got to pick the right day for it. One time.
Yeah. Pick one. Pick one every week. And it doesn't have to be the same type. It doesn't have to be a 7 to 10 minute workout. It could be the 20-minute workout.
Yeah, it could be. The one that you need to work on. Yeah.
We just did a 20-minute long all out race. And I think for a lot of people, especially people that are just getting into competition, they don't really know where their limits are because they've never really run the wheels off the car before. And so you have to know, like, okay, how hard can I really push?
Yeah.
How heavy can I really go? And that's like when you don't stop because it's starting to feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that like, okay, I literally can't go anymore. I'm going to pass out.
Yeah.
But that, okay, you're like, all right, got that line out of here. Now I know where I can go. That was the Jason Hopper deal doing 24.2. Yep. He knows he's a good rower. He knows the paces he can set. And he wanted to go, okay, let me test it here and see just where I go. And he almost lost to a guy that would have given him a shit ton of shit. Could you imagine the onslaught?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There's no way that he would have let that go. But that's really important. And you should, everyone should do it once a week. Pick one.
Once. And pick a different one, like you said. Because for me, I should pick the 45 deadlifts and handstand pushup one. Sub 5 minutes. I do not like that zone.
Right?
I do not like that zone.
Yeah. Oh.
I'll read this. Lance, I know, 300 people. You guys are freaking awesome. I'm actually too competitive daily for my ability and age, trying to keep up with the guys and women 20 years younger than me. In my mind, I think I should be able to keep up. Sometimes I can't most. I like that. So the opposite side of the spectrum for you, Lance, is like every workout doesn't need to be an all-out workout. Right? Pick something. There's a thing in every workout for you that you should isolate and work on and get better at. If it's the long one, maybe it's picking a row pace that you can hold for 20 minutes. If it's the shoulder press day, it's like, hey, I'm gonna get to a weight that I don't know if I can do or not. Right? I'm gonna put up some serious weight. If it's the sub 5 minute one, it's like, how hard can I go out and still hang on?
Right.
Right. Like pick one thing, not the whole workout. Right. But pick one thing that's going to actually improve you, that 1% for the day. And driving your head into the dirt every day is not going to get you better at those things, because you're missing a skill development under fatigue you could work on, a pace to hold on a row. It's the rowing interval workout. If it's a per round thing, I actually want to get faster each round. I usually get slower each round. Okay, maybe I'll start slow in round one, try to sustain that in round two, and then whatever I have left, go hard in round three. And maybe those numbers don't increase or decrease per round, but they don't increase.
And Lance, you got to talk to your coaches.
Yeah, talk to your coaches,
hey,
bro. Yeah.
Here's what I want to do. I want to be able to compete, or I want to be able to compete in my age group, or I want to be able to do this in the open or whatever. How can I make this work out for me better? Because they're going to know whether it's a strength issue, whether it's a technique issue, whatever. And they can say, do it like this. Because I feel like a lot of times when people come into a workout, it's either RX or nothing. And it's like a lost cause workout.
A lost cause workout.
Well, I mean, a lot of people
that's a great.
I can't do that. I'm just going to go super slow. It's like, right. No. I mean, if you have decent coaches in your place, tell them what you want. Don't be like, I don't want to be the problem child. Every coach is there. Like for me personally, I know that like, I love finding that puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make this workout
the
best thing for this person.
Yep.
That is the whole small group setting where you're getting the coaching. You're getting individual level coaching in a small group setting. I'm making this workout best for you so that you can get the things that you want. Get more of a stimulus, improve your conditioning, improve your strength, whatever. I can do that. Mm-hmm. But you got to ask me.
And that goes for all of you.
I don't really know what you want.
Yeah, that goes for all of you. Every coach should be able to, coach, owner, multiple coaches in the gym, friends, like go to your coach and be like, hey, listen, I don't know how to approach this workout today. And it's just a random workout on a Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday morning, or well, pick a day. It's like, I don't get this 300 or this three rounder. I was like, all right, well, what's the hardest part for you? It's like, well, it's the endurance on the knees to elbows. It's like, all right, well, what do you usually do? It's like, I usually go as many as I can until I fail. I'm like, okay, why don't we just do threes today?
Right.
Do three every 20 seconds. Force it's going to feel really slow in round one, but I promise you, you will actually go faster today if you go threes the whole time, then 12 in a row in singles for the next 50 reps. That's what your coach is there for.
Yeah.
You should have someone in your corner game planning for you every single workout you do in your gym. And if you're in a garage gym, find someone who will do that for you. I guarantee you there are people in your life that are as invested in your fitness, like Pedro. I don't know if you're still listening, but like I am so invested in your progress and your fitness then I think you realize. Right?
So fun to watch what he's doing.
It is. He's doing 100 burpees a day. His, it's stupid.
Yeah, everything.
Right? So find that person or group of people that will be there. It's like, hey, guys, ask him every day. If you, if anybody texts me every day, is like, hey, how do I approach this workout? Like when I have old members text me that, it's the best day. Hey, how do I approach this? Like, you know, I would actually, it's like, it's 225 on the 45 deadlift. It's like, yeah, that's a lot. Let's do 185 and just see how fast you can go. Because like, this is a sub 5 minute workout. If you do 225, it's going to take you 10 minutes. Like, that's not what this workout's supposed to be. Do 185 in regular pushups and let's just see how hard you can go. So, whatever. Yeah. I'm just making stuff up on the fly, but yeah. Halpin. I coached that Wednesday cap workout during the warm-up. We found the right weight and the right knees to elbow scale to match the intensity for the class. Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. And that's where the customization comes. Everyone's like, oh, CrossFit is just general workouts for everybody and nobody's doing, everybody's doing the same thing. It's like, no.
No, man. Like I just had a class of 16 and there were virtually, I would say there were two people that did an RX. So there were 14 different versions of that.
Do you want to love Chase? Do you have any available Ingram's older brothers, dad, uncle? That goes great with my real first name. I am the oldest. I'm sorry. And yes, we are all married. My younger brother gets married in September.
Oh, good for him.
I know. I'm excited for him. What's your cell number, Chase? DM me. I'm not going to give my cell phone number. Why? Because there's 270 people watching this. And you guys are all crazy. But hit us up. Bill, say, hit us up.
Yeah, totally.
Hit Bill up on Instagram. Hit me up on Instagram. These are our handles, Chase_Ingram, @BillGrundler. Get with the program. You guys can hit us up there. Like we love when you guys ask us questions. It's why we're here. We are not here to talk at you. We are here to talk with you.
Community, man. It's a community.
Yeah. Like we want to teach you guys how to program, how to assess program, how to coach, how to learn as an athlete. That's why we started this whole thing. We are not experts. We are just channels. Is that, what's the thing? Like where you like channel something for other people? What is that? That's the thing, right?
Channeling. Yeah. Facilitating.
What is that? Thank you, Leslie. And thank you guys for being here.
Yeah.
So week three will be Thursday. It'll be at Proven. I think I had some breaking news about that, but I can't share it yet. But our Inside the Leaderboard show is going to be on Wednesday.
Oh, man. Dude, those shows have been so fun.
So fun. So fun. Week one, was it like a 16 women from Europe, we had 16 spots after week
massive,
one in the
oh
open.
Oh my gosh, that massive swing.
My favorite part is John Young's like, it's going to swing back week two. I'm like, no, it's not.
Dude, well, I thought that was the Colton Mertens has the world record.
Oh, yeah.
He wouldn't have qualified for the games that year. He would have been just outside the bubble.
Yeah. So our Inside the Leaderboard week two, which means we will now have a new top 100 once all the scores are in for week number two. We'll use the open top 100 only and see where the top 100 strength of field is. We're going to take more team athletes because we know more of that, more individual athletes pulling out of competition. Oceania for the women, wide open.
Yeah.
Now that Ellie Turner has decided to pull out for the year.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's returning that qualified last year. Right? So, who knows? I'm excited, but these are super fun for us. Again, thank you to Mike Halpin and Known and Knowable for putting our vision into paper because otherwise I don't know how to do this math. So thank you to that. So that will be Wednesday, 10:15 a.m. Pacific time, 12:15 Central. And while you guys are poking around on our site, you guys can join us.
Join us.
You can join. $3, $5 if you guys want to hop on the membership. If you guys are doing our Get With The Programming or our Programmatron one, you guys will get access to programming once a week from us. So you get to see that. But if you guys are Patreon, stay where you're at. You guys are good. Thank you for being there. But if you guys don't know what it is and you just want to watch and just be on the show, just scroll up. If you guys are there watching us on YouTube, just scroll up. Click join. Join the party. Who's announcing? Hulk Hogan? Oh, for 25th. I don't know. All right, here's
who you want it to be.
I was just about to ask you that. This is our last question before we sign off.
My hope, Chris Pratt.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I think he would be fun. I think he would be silly. He'd be able to. He could talk our talk. He's like a.
Chris Pratt would be a good one.
I mean, he's big with the whole Murph thing. I think that'd be fun.
All right.
Or Alicia Keys could sing about CrossFit.
Okay, so I'm going an artist.
Oh, I know who you're picking.
I want to see Post Malone do an open announcement.
That would be cool.
You're in Nashville. He's a Dallas boy.
Does he do CrossFit? Like, how did him and Dave? I don't know,
but him and Dave are like boys.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. Like, he has lost so much weight. Have you seen him recently?
Yeah.
And I think he said he just
totally different person.
He like started eating better.
Well, that makes sense.
But hey,
it's amazing what that does, right?
Right. So I would love Post Malone to come out. But you know what show I want to do? And this I might get in trouble for doing this, but you know. I want to do a show because we usually do a There Fixed It.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we send it around programming. Hey, we would have done this, which is really easy to do. Thank you for your programming. And we're just going to pull it apart and just like make it better as if like we're geniuses. I want to do a There Fixed It of open announcements.
Dude. Okay. I won't even say it, but you have to watch the Jason show because we kind of were talking about it.
Oh, really?
And there was a great idea that Jason had on there that would have been amazing.
Halpin, don't spoil the numbers.
Huh?
Halpin, stop spoiling numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Save it for Wednesday. I want to delete your comment, bro.
But that's a great idea because I think that would be, again, it's setting up what the open is supposed to be about.
Yeah.
And it's about getting everybody fired up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to have celebrities talk to us.
Yeah, I'm just...
We're already here.
I've been thinking about it, just dreaming. And I think post... Because we're gonna analyze the programming for the open.
Yeah,
that'll be next week. I think we have it scheduled for Tuesday of next week. Once it closes on Monday,
yeah.
We'll have our final open version of Inside the Leaderboard, which I can't wait. Which I can't wait for. That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
but I do want to do a There Fixed It open announcement dream scenario. Not to say they're not doing it right. I'm just saying what I would have liked to see if I were just, if spared no expense, fun guy. Fun. This is supposed to be fun. It's just entertainment, guys.
Yeah.
But any country singers in Nashville? Yeah, I don't know. Nashville country singers? That doesn't ring a bell at all. How great of you, Rick Ross came out and did the 24.3 open announcement in Nashville.
Oh my gosh.
I know, Post Malone.
That would be fun too.
Post Malone would be, I think he would be great. And they should announce, if they announce it early, just pack out Proven. That's the place to do it. That monstrosity. And I mean that with all due respect, like that massive.
Okay. Then I think that that's one of the problems already. Is that we don't know who these people are and nothing has been done ahead of time to get people fired up for it.
Well, we knew that Seth Rollins, although I guess they announced that on Monday, didn't they?
Right. That's what I mean.
All right, Dave, come on. Who is it?
We'll see. Hurry up already.
All right, guys. Thank you guys again for rolling with us. If you guys want to join our crew on our membership track, please do. It's a drop in the bucket, but it goes a long way for us. It allows us to do more things and pay really cool people to do cooler things that we're not capable of to make these shows super fun for you guys. So thank you so much for rolling with us. It really does mean a lot. Get your scores in. We'll see you on Wednesday when we go inside the leaderboard to see our new top 100 for men and women for strength of field. And then what the games allocated spots look like after that, after 2 weeks of the open. And then we're going to predict the programming.
Yeah.
We're going to see what the new key is. What the new hints are. We're going to take a look at .com for 3 days. We'll take a look at a week of cap.
Is John coming?
Maybe. He says he wants to. He has the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But now it's either me or John has got to guess it. Because you guessed it week one. Pedro guessed it week two. I should pull this thing up. I made this video.
We need to have the show go 3 for 3, dude. We have to
go 3 for 3. I knew as soon as we started shitting on his guests that he was going to get it right. I just knew. Because like you, me, and John basically had the same workout.
Totally.
And I don't even know why I belong on this programming show.
That video that you put up was great. I don't know, something easy, like a rowing and a titty with ching. That was so good.
This will be our outro. Let me see. Here we go.
I think it'll be like long, and I think it would be something like rowing that everyone can do, and I think there'll be something like highly skilled or higher skilled that will stop people, or like heavy that will stop people, and then it'll make rowing impossible. It'll just wipe it off the table. So I think maybe like heavy deadlifts.
So good.
Oh, hey, Blake. Say hi.
Hi.
All right, guys. My daughter's awake. It's spring break. Kids are home, but we made it happen anyways. Thank you guys for joining the show. We'll see you on Wednesday when we go inside of the leaderboard. Submit your scores. And as Rory McKernan said, in my favorite way to sign off, we'll see you guys on the leaderboard.